everyone. Next up is going to be how to become a media wiki hacker by Andre. So yeah, let's start.
Thank you. Welcome everybody. Thanks for your interest. So this is not going to take, I guess, the full 90 minutes, except for if you come up with lots of questions in the end. This is going to be, I think, pretty overwhelming overview of all the many technical areas we have in the Wikimedia movement when it comes to software development and software maintenance. The development infrastructure we're using, a little bit, an overview of it, and mostly providing ideas where to get involved. So that also means, hopefully I'm going to provide some links with more information, show a few things, and afterwards, questions and answers, feel free to ask really anything and everything when it comes to software development related things in Wikimedia. To make more people leave, what this session is not, it's not a hands-on workshop. I'm not gonna install MediaWiki or register any accounts on stage or teach how to program in programming languages. First of all, as I never really know which kind of audience I have, the terms are very confusing. There is this website which is pretty popular called Wikipedia in many languages, which is a free online encyclopedia. There is Wikimedia, which is the name of the entire movement, all the volunteers, also organizations who have paid staff like Wikimedia Deutschland or Wikimedia Foundation. There is a software called MediaWiki, one of the wiki softwares out there, which hosts and provides the functionality to view pages on Wikipedia and our other projects and to edit them. And there's the term wiki, which just means, literally it means fast in that language, but it means a general kind of software where anyone can edit something on a website. And as a last overview on a very high level, many people only know Wikipedia, but there's a few more projects and websites we have, which are also about sharing and providing open and free knowledge. This list, I would even say, is incomplete because we have a few more websites, but they're more like technical or development related or cross movement. Any questions so far? Okay. Before I dive into the technical areas, for the basic understanding, how do we communicate? So we use a lot of on-wiki discussions, talk pages. We do use IRC. Many developers are still on IRC. We have mailing lists. I think that's the main general discussion areas, or discussing higher level plans. When it comes to mostly software development, but not only, because some chapters also use our ticket system for planning their activities or sometimes even conferences, we use a software called Fabricator. It is mostly for software bug reports and feature requests. We have quite some projects in there. And you probably know issue trackers. You can prioritize things, you can plan in your team, assign tasks, all these things. And I hope this is large enough. We have this information page on mediawiki.org, which is called Fabricator, which also links to the help page and some basic information, has some videos how to use it. And the tool itself, looks like this on the default front page. If you've seen things like, let's say, Bugzilla, Jira, Trello, Mingle, I would say it's pretty similar to this. And if you have an account on MediaWiki.org, you don't have a separate password on Fabricator, so you can just log in via OAuth. And for the development of code, we mostly use Git repositories, and we use Garrett for the code review part. As Wikimedia is pretty large, pretty complex on many levels, with many different people, backgrounds, and languages, it's also pretty much up to each developer or team what they prefer, at least when it comes to volunteer developers. So there's also a good bunch of projects which are on GitHub instead. But Wikimedia, we offer Git and Garrett for that mostly. Who uses Git? Who is used to Git? That's a majority, yeah, okay. Garrett? Oh, okay, that's already less. So to take a quick look at it, on MediaWiki.org, we have a page called Garrett, which also links to getting started, tutorials, things like these. And the software itself, that's the main view. I'm not logged in here, where you see the latest proposed code changes that somebody proposed. And if my Wi-Fi is stable, it is. You can see here, if I expand this area, the proposed code changes, the reviewers, and then you can also, at the bottom, comment on things. And to use Garrett, we have this tutorial on MediaWiki.org, which explains the basic steps. You register a so-called developer account. This is separate from the account you have on MediaWiki.org or Wikipedia. I think both for historical reasons and also for security reasons. It's for free. There's nobody who has to give their okay. Then you upload your SSH key, basically, and install the Garrett software on your machine. And then once you've checked out a Git repository, you can propose patches that then get uploaded into Garrett for somebody else to take a look and review. Because we usually have a policy that four eyes need to take a look at a proposed code change to have at least one other person reviewing a proposed code change. Any comments, questions so far? Okay. And I said mostly Garrett and to some extent GitHub because we also have some code on Wiki in Wiki pages. I'll come to that in the next slide. And for the social organizational structure, because that's also pretty often asked, how does this all work with hundreds or thousands of volunteers working on code together? A lot of work is done by employees or contractors of organizations. Probably the biggest is the Wikimedia Foundation, who is also running the service or responsible for it. But there are also large entities like Wikimedia Deutschland, who are pretty present here. Wikimedia Sweden is doing some development work. We have third-party companies who use Wikimedia software. For example, the MediaWiki software, there's people in Wikia who develop on this and sometimes contribute or propose code changes back that they want to see available for everybody and not maintain in their installation as a custom patch. Or other companies, for example, NASA is also using MediaWiki internally. So I think we even lately saw a few patches by Microsoft employees proposing them for us to include. So And last but not least, because it's also a large number, lots of volunteers who do this in their free time. When it comes to decision making or prioritization or ownership, that's also sometimes pretty confusing. You've probably experienced it that you contribute or want to contribute some code to some project and sometimes don't get a reply, but you really would like to see that included, and then you start to find out who shall I contact in different ways or via different media, like sending private emails or something to maybe realize it's unmaintained. In Wikimedia, the organizations like Wikimedia Foundation or Wikimedia Deutschland, they have their internal annual plans, quarterly goals, things like these, planning processes. Internal, not in a way that it's non-public. So when it comes to Wikimedia Foundation, you can look up the annual plans for each engineering team and also other technology and non-technology teams on our wiki page, our wiki site. But those software projects who are mainly or only maintained by volunteers in their free time, volunteers sometimes have less time or are away without announcing it or might not realize that they have way less time now, because sometimes you're in this mood like, I'm going to work on this again, I just need to find the time, which never happens. And we try to track who's maintaining or who is the owner of which of our pieces on a developer's maintainers page we have. And we also try to make explicit that this piece of software is missing a maintainer or owner and things like these. So that is sometimes helpful. And I sometimes also need that myself when I try to track down somebody who might be able to review a contributed patch or a proposed code change. When it comes to non-developers and trying to influence what should be worked on by somebody else, whoever that somebody else might be, the Wikimedia Foundation has something called Community Wishlist, which takes place once a year. I think it finished 5 or 6 weeks ago for the last edition of it, where anybody who's not necessarily a developer, so this can also be readers or authors or editors of Wikimedia websites, propose technical changes, and then there is a voting phase, and the top 10, at least the top 10, but that's the promise, is going to be looked at and worked on by development teams of the foundation. And Wikimedia Deutschland has something similar called Technische Wünsche, and also a team called, what is it called, Community Bedarf, I think nowadays, or maybe it has changed, I'm not sure. But so this is one way how priorities and development can be influenced, but that's only once a year. And pretty often it feels a bit unclear to outsiders who decides and things like these. So, whoops, sorry for that. That's why I'm mentioning this here, because it often feels like a black box and you don't understand how things work. And as I sometimes like to look at statistics, at least for the code repositories that are in Git and Garrett, we have some very shiny graphs on an external website by a company who's also providing these services to other open source organizations, where you can also see how many volunteers have contributed or which percentage of volunteers versus other organizations, things like these. Comments? Questions? So I once tried to make some kind of scheme, something graphical. I still it doesn't feel complete. It never feels complete, because you there's so many bits and pieces, and there's also enough things missing here. For example, I don't have Wikidata somewhere here. But this was at least an approach in one simple image. In one image, to give a bit of an overview of areas we have and the related programming languages. Because pretty often, volunteers come up, mostly on IRC or on mailing lists, and ask, hey, I want to contribute to Wikimedia. How can I start? Or I think in half of the cases, they also mention their programming language, so they want to go by the programming language. And we have a pretty good choice when it comes to this. So, I'm gonna start bombing you with lots of technical areas, and I hope that some of them might interest you and to investigate further here. As I mentioned earlier, not all code is in code repositories, and some code is on Wiki. And that is the case for gadgets and user scripts. The difference is a user script is something that you for yourself have under your namespace. So like on user, then your username slash common JS, you can put some custom JavaScript. And whenever you're logged in, this is automatically loaded and changes your experience in your browser. And when user scripts get pretty popular, they can become an option site-wide for other logged-in users that you have. And then this becomes available in your user preferences. So you don't have to add this code somehow yourself anymore to load somebody else's user script, but you have a wonderful checkbox that you can enable. This is obviously JavaScript, and there's a page called Gadget Kitchen, and pretty often you have to look up things in the core software of MediaWiki, that's the next slide, I think, to know the names of functions and things you want to call. Let me switch to my browser. I think I changed the order, of course, before I started with this talk. That's why. This is the Gadget Kitchen page, which has some basic introduction. How you can try out things, loading a first gadget from somebody else. We have statistics per wiki, which gadgets are popular. You can see here some gadgets are by default on for every user, and then it's sorted by the most popular ones which are not enabled by default. And all of them add a certain functionality that is not included in the MediaWiki software itself, that somebody considered helpful for themselves, I guess, at first. And at some point it got very popular. And sometimes, of course, functionality in gadgets at some point is also transferred into code in the MediaWiki main code base. This is the preferences section, which you can, when you're logged in up there, there's a preferences link on every Wikimedia website, like Wikipedia or Commons. And then you have this list here where you can play with things. And this can, for some users, get pretty long. This is the code of one user who has a lot of custom things in there. And of course, you can also load JavaScript gadgets. You don't have to have this all in one single file, which is named common.js under username. You can, of course, also have that in separate pages and then load them from common.js. And this is exactly, it is a wiki page. So it is exactly like an article on Wikipedia. You can also, at least when it's not that popular one, edit the source. Here I can only view the source because this is used on many pages. And instead of a classic Git log change history, you also have the history, like on any Wikipedia article, to see when the last changes happened. So the advantage of gadgets is that you don't have to fiddle with Git Garrett. It's a bit more low level when it comes to entrance barriers. That's also why I put this here first. And if you're used to editing wiki pages already, it's the same interface, more or less. Any questions, comments? I think we have a microphone. Yeah, okay.
Are there restrictions on what I can put there in JavaScript? Because, I mean, can I track users? Can I call APIs? Whatever, can I log user data? Or, yeah.
Daniel, if you want to go ahead, I mean, I won't stop you.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I work for the Wikimedia Foundation as a software engineer. Maybe I can answer this. So yes, there are a lot of restrictions actually on this. You can do pretty much anything you want in your own JavaScript, but it will only load for yourself. So yes, you can track yourself. When it comes to writing JavaScript that runs for all the users, you need elevated privileges, right? You need, it used to be the case that any wiki admin could do this. And for a couple of months now, this is a additional restriction that you would actually need to, be approved for by the community. And there's review processes basically. This is per community, but essentially you have code review there. And if you try to put something there that will track user data, then you will hopefully be told off and told no. Every now and then it actually happens that an admin goes rough and does things that they shouldn't do, sometimes intentionally, like putting a crypto miner on there. We actually had that happen for like a few minutes. But sometimes people are actually well-intentioned but don't really pay attention. I think some Wikipedia, I don't recall the language, had just a page view counter by Google there and weren't aware that they were exposing private data. So yeah, that happens, but it gets rolled back pretty quickly usually.
Thanks. And this sometimes happens. Also, for example, with custom JavaScript or CSS that is loaded per site, but for every visitor, also for non-logged-in ones, because that is also possible. And it's rare nowadays because we usually check for this now. But sometimes it happens that a font, for example, is loaded from a third-party website, and that is against the privacy policy. And I think I saw that two or three times in the last year, and it was quickly removed, usually, once it's detected, yeah. Further comments, questions on gadgets, on wiki code? Okay. Then I'm going to continue with things that are in Git code repositories. Ooh. The very base of all this is the software called MediaWiki. It is 15 years old, written in PHP, classical LAMP it started, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP. It is nearly everything is PHP. There is some JavaScript via jQuery in there. You might find a little bit of CSS, less these things. If you're new to the Wikimedia code stack, I do not recommend starting with this code base because it's huge and some of its code areas are 15 years old. And nowadays, you would probably use different concepts when it comes to software architecture and things like these. However, for many things that are based on MediaWiki, and if you want to work or change the code of those things that are based on MediaWiki, you need to install MediaWiki. And we have a dedicated page for that, how to become a MediaWiki hacker on MediaWiki.org. And you have Vagrant, you have Docker, and you can do that manually. So this is the page, hopefully guiding you through this journey. set up your development environment, the steps for Vagrant, Docker, how to manually install. There's some general suggested reading for new contributors who might not be aware or too exposed before when it comes to the culture and the expectations, like where to ask questions, which questions to ask, that how can I start is not the best question ever, that it should be more specific, things like these. It's gotten way shorter, I realized, than I had it in mind. Which is nice because I have this general impression that we have actually too much documentation as a problem. And not, usually it's like, oh, the documentation is missing, but in the Wikimedia community, I often have the feeling, okay, five people wrote five different pages on that topic, and which one shall we recommend? Which one is the best, depending on your knowledge or things like these? And that can sometimes be a pretty tough choice. Sorry?
Which one is 5 years old?
5 years old? Oh, yeah. Looking at the age of the page can sometimes be helpful. Like, when was the last edit done? Like, did somebody care about something? Yeah, that's true. So you need MediaWiki. It's going to be pretty central for many things, not for all the things I'm going to show, but at least when it comes to extensions and skins, you will have to install MediaWiki, but you don't necessarily have to touch its code base. On top of MediaWiki, there are extensions. We have, at least yesterday, I think it was close to 180 extensions are deployed, available on the Wikimedia servers who provide Wikipedia and the other projects I've shown. On MediaWiki.org, in that category, we have nearly 2,000 extensions listed. There's probably more that don't have a page, or nobody created a page on MediaWiki.org, so there's very likely more on GitHub and in other places, but harder to find. And that's PHP, JavaScript, also some less than CSS. And I kept one example here for an extension because it's pretty well maintained, and the code review also usually happens pretty fast, which is not always the case, depending on how maintained the software is. So a newsletter extension on that page also, all the pages should have links to where to find tasks to work on. And there's a general link how to find things to work on as a starter also at the end. And how do things look like? There's skins. There's a lot of skins out there. I don't know an exact number, dozens definitely. I know that six different skins are available and deployed on Wikimedia sites, and you can also change that in your preferences. Some are more popular, some are nowadays less popular, or were 10 years ago. You can see the difference in skins here at the side. So on top you see the Minerva skin, which originally comes from mobile and now I think is still being decoupled, but it's not, the code base doesn't depend anymore on our mobile front end. And down there is an older one, which is called Monobook. So if you're more into the design part, like CSS, then this is an area where also lots of small bits and pieces can be improved, because skins have bugs and content sometimes overlays with other content, especially on smaller screens. Or there's also, of course, the whole, yeah, that's related to smaller screens, mobile devices and things like these. This part does not necessarily require installing software, but if you're using or developing your own software and want to use data from, for example, Wikipedia, we have a web API and a REST API. I think we have three APIs now, and because there's also the internal one, and naming things is hard. As one example in the screenshot, I probably shouldn't do that live now. I didn't ask for sound beforehand. But there's a website which visualizes with sounds whenever an article is edited, creating circles. There's many things like these. And this is the starting point, usually where you have our API documentation. It's on mediawiki.org/wiki/API. It will redirect to this one. And you can see here, per section, the things you might want to do, like the basics, how you can authenticate, especially page operations or searching things. And quite some pages nowadays have examples. You, for example, have an API sandbox pretty often where you can enter things and just try out things. But that's also currently being worked on to improve this documentation. Questions, comments, confusion? Okay. When it comes to this data, you can use the APIs we have, but of course you can also get data dumps. For example, for offline use, or if you're into research, which is another area here. We have different data dumps available, which you can play with, whatever you would like to find out. And we have some offline applications. I think the most known one, or at least to me, visible one, is called QX. So that also uses dumps, and it's basically you can take, for example, Wikipedia with you and then read it without any internet activity. Connectivity, sorry. And they're also very friendly people and welcome more developers. QX, I think, runs on quite some operating systems nowadays, also mobile and things like these. Mobile, true. There are Wikipedia applications for mobile. This is for Wikipedia, actually, on both iOS and Android. There were other systems supported in the past, but I think that's now mostly volunteer-based work, if at all. Like, this is really currently the concentration on the market, I guess. So, and it's Wikipedia app. It's not a generic application you could use for your own wiki that you host or something. Though there's also been some people experimenting with making it a bit more generic at a past hackathon. And a volunteer-based application, which is very nice, is the Android application for Wikimedia Commons, where you can upload freely licensed images, videos, media files, which is in Java. And they also welcome contributions. I won't and I can't say too many things about this because for the last days here there have been already many Wikidata people around. Daniel has also been involved in Wikidata for many years, if you have some specific questions about that. It's basically a centralized repository of structured data, and it's PHP, JavaScript, and if you want to run queries, or formulate queries, questions. This is in SparkQL. If you're wondering how long this list is, I think I have 24 slides or something. We're on 16? Yeah, 23. So you will survive, I hope. We have cloud services. It's an OpenStack-based hosting environment because we also have a lot of developers who want to run bots, for example, to automatically revert vandalism when it's detected and things like these. So, of course, there's also some rules and some... the server is gone, but there's some restrictions what you're not allowed to do, especially when it comes to privacy policies and restrictions, but you do have access to some of the data that you can play with. And there are currently, I think, over... Okay, I forgot to show the Datadumps one. Mobile app. Over 1,000 tools we're hosting here. And if the things that you're allowed to do with tools are not enough, we also have a full cloud VPS, which of course has a bit more restrictions. So you have to argument why ToolForge is not sufficient for the things you want to do if you want a cloud VPS full project. And we also have about, I think, more than 160 when I checked lately. Comments, questions? Okay. Microphone.
So who will use those cloud services?
I couldn't hear. Could you speak up, please?
Who will use the cloud services?
Who?
Is it only, like, who uses those services?
Who uses them?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Actually, many people in the community rely on services provided on ToolForge. So any developer can create their project on ToolForge. And many of the tools we have are actually quite popular and common. For example, one tool is for showing you all your latest contributions, page edits, across all the Wikimedia wikis. I think we have about 900 wikis nowadays. And that's not functionality you would have in MediaWiki isolated on one website. So this is across all wikis, global contributions, I think it's called. And that's linked, I think, on all wikis from the bottom of your list of contributions only for that one wiki. That's, for example, one pretty popular tool we have. So there's many things that people have come up with to run them on ToolForge or on Cloud VPS. Also, there's another one I like, which shows an OpenStreetMap map in the window, and then an overlay. Because of the GPS data of items on Wikidata who do not have photos yet. So that's another thing on, I think it's on ToolForge, which is pretty nice when I realize in my area, this thing still needs a photo. Maybe I can upload that to Wikimedia Commons and then in Wikidata connect that item to the photo on Wikimedia Commons. For example, such things. Does that answer your question? Okay. Daniel?
So the general idea, how this was born, is really there were people, editors on Wikipedia, users of Wikipedia, who had ideas of what tools they needed, but they didn't have a place to, and they were actually, developers, they could write them, but they didn't have a place to put them and didn't have the access they would need for these tools. And so this platform was created where you could just basically ask for an account and you get basically web space and a place to put your stuff and provide the tool you want to. Basically, many people create these tools for their own use and then just share it with the other editors on Wikipedia and other sister projects.
Okay. Then there are bots, which are pretty similar. Like, they're also automated tools that can revert vandalism or common spell-checking mistakes. The difference to a tool, simplified, is a tool runs on itself all the time on the server, while a bot, you usually manually start it yourself on your own machine, usually, to simplify this. And the most common one and also framework we have is called PyWikiBot, written in Python, which already provides you a lot of functionality, like, for example, handling logging in, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So this page also, for example, has introductions how to write a bot yourself, or developing on PyWikiBots yourself, a framework itself, if you're into Python. Something totally different, machine learning. Unfortunately, Amir is already gone. He was here till yesterday evening. He's pretty much into that. If you're into that area, we're also currently experimenting with that, which basically means having artificial intelligence to identify how likely an edit is vandalism and things like these, to revert that edit. That's, for example, one approach here. There's external desktop applications. That's another thing. But this requires already a bit to know how Wikimedia works, because they do some things you don't want to do either via the API yourself or via the web browser user interface, because it's too much work. So Huggle is an anti-vandalism tool which runs on your desktop and lets you also semi-automatically revert changes. And there are similar other projects like AutoWiki Browser, Wikipedia Cleaner. As you can see, people are free to come up with things they want or create them in parallel. And I guess sometimes the case is also that you're not necessarily aware of all the stuff happening in the developer areas. So sometimes you even work on a project for 2 or 3 weeks until you realize, oh, there is already something similar. So in such a large place like the Wikimedia movement, it's hard to keep an overview of everything going on. And this is, well, I probably shouldn't say for completeness, because you can never come up with a complete list. There's more. You can play with a lot of statistics, apart from the data dumps I mentioned earlier. Creating visualizations is possible with the stuff we have in analytics. They also have tutorials, if that interests you. Browser testing, QA automation. Apart from the continuous integration we have when new patches are proposed in Garrett, which is Jenkins Zool, we also run browser tests. Selenium, Node.js. On the lower level in the stack, we do have data centers, we do have servers, we host ourselves. So there are configuration and maintenance of that. This is mostly Python, some Puppet, some shell scripts. There's no real reference or page I could come up with, so I put the one about Puppet coding here. But on this level, on the network level and in our stack, the best place you can find is this yet another wiki, which is called wikitech.wikimedia.org, which is for the really technical parts and documenting servers and stuff like that. And we have lately, when it comes to changes in the architecture, more service-based, Node.js-based architecture, also things like Citoid? I've never tried to pronounce it. Citoid, I guess, for locating citation data. Or Mathoid, converting math input into MathML plus SVG or into bitmap images, things like these. It's a pretty big, beautiful, complex system. I hope I could cover maybe something that might interest you if you're interested in checking out or playing with things in Wikimedia. As the last slide, these are the basic links I usually nowadays try or give out. There's a generic how to contribute page, which also covers non-technical areas. Because sometimes we also have new contributors or people who are interested in contributing, and at some point realize they might not yet have the skills or might have different interests, and then wander off into other areas we have, like translation or design or documentation or maybe even handling or triaging the incoming bug reports or things like these, or communicating technical changes to the non-technical communities. All these things happen, like tech ambassadors we have, for example, for this, all volunteers. We have a page for recommended software projects. They are developed by people who actively said, yeah, I'm very happy to mentor new contributors, to help them onboard, to help getting started. So there's only a few of, only a few of them listed here, but it's the most condensed, shortest page we could come up with for a new developer to join, explaining the basics here, and then listing some of the software projects that we would recommend to start with. And some of them I already mentioned, and some of them I haven't here. And as the last one, most of the pages for each project that I've shown should list in should link in theory to their issue tracking system, which very often is that Wikimedia Fabricator instance that I showed earlier, but sometimes can also be GitHub or something like that. It depends entirely on the developers and maintainers. But we try to collect at least some links on a page called Good First Bugs, but this is more for self-learners. So it is a list of tasks, of things somebody should do at some point. Which shouldn't be too complicated for somebody who just started or wants to get started, but it's not that you do not have a dedicated mentor or something. You're more on your own. So that's called Good First Bugs on MediaWiki.org. And yeah, we also have some links here to some of the projects, or at least areas that we have, like multimedia or the entire search stack, front-end and back-end and all these things. Why is MediaWiki Core listed here? Well, anyway, that's nothing I would recommend. That's it so far. Please, I hope you have found some ideas or interest, or at least that it was interesting and informative. Or just confusing how complex this entire wiki universe is when it comes to technical things on many levels. And I'm happy to answer, discuss anything that comes to your mind when it comes to our software development process, I guess. Feel free to go ahead. Comments, questions, ideas, criticism?
I will say, if no one has an answer, applause for André.
Oh, okay. Thank you.